Rick, let's start with the Commerce Department releasing their October report on U.S. factory orders, and this report looks pretty good.
It does look good. Orders are up 2.7%. This is the fourth month in a row that factory orders have been up, and we actually got an upwardly revised number for the prior month. So overall, factory orders are looking healthy. Now, the thing about manufacturing, of course, is that factory orders can well be up, but those orders may be placed with firms that are heavily automated and thus cost competitive. New machinery is a fixed cost for them. They have to pay off that note on that equipment no matter what. And so that can lead to a situation where there's downward competition on prices. They may well be getting that order because they don't employ that many expensive workers and they're automated. So all that to say that, yes, factory orders are up. The dollar value of output produced by the manufacturing sector in the U.S. will be up, but that's not necessarily an indicator that there will be many more manufacturing jobs in the U.S.
Is that similar to what the report on durable goods?
It is. All those measures taken together point towards a U.S. economy that's basically fairly healthy. We're producing more manufactured goods than we ever have before. It's just we're doing it with fewer people. So you've got this kind of odd combination of the overall economy is fairly healthy. GDP has largely, although not totally, recovered from the Great Recession. The labor market looks pretty good, but most of those new jobs are in the service sector. They are for people who are in healthcare, in education, but they're typically not in manufacturing. So we've got the paradox of great discontent. We saw this in the election, and particularly in the Midwestern states, traditionally the home of manufacturing intensity in the U.S., where so many manufacturing jobs have been lost to technology automation. And those, unfortunately, are not coming back because the cost advantage of well-implemented automation and technology is substantial enough so that manufacturing jobs, even at $5 an hour, wouldn't make sense compared to the cost of equipment.
We heard locally from some of the local politicians during the election about local manufacturing jobs, trying to bring them back in. Do you see that happening?
Well, it does happen. And of course, there's the big debate about incentive policy. Every state has an economic development policy in place, and it's to stick it to the other states and steal their jobs. They want the pepperoni off of everybody else's pizza. And Florida is no exception. Governor Rick Scott has been very aggressive in asking for incentive pots. And here in Northwest Florida, we've had the very successful University of West Florida program, the $30 million oil spill recovery program funded by the legislature, which has incentivized a number of firms, including manufacturing firms, to stay or to relocate here or to expand here. So yes, incentives are popular, and I don't see them going away anytime soon, but it'll be a happy day when Florida is indispensable to any major employer because they look at each other and say, you know, we've got to have the workforce, the high-skilled people. Even though they cost a little bit more in Florida, they're worth it. That will be the day that we've achieved good economic development.
Bringing manufacturing jobs in should have an effect, you'd think, on the trade deficit. As long as I've been alive, there's been a trade deficit. Is that going away?
Well, there hasn't consistently been a trade surplus, really, since the 60s in the United States. That's because we have a lower saving rate than the rest of the world. We're a nation that tends to spend our income when we get it, and part of that spending goes to purchase imported stuff. And as long as we have a saving rate that's below the average of the rest of the world, we're going to be a trade deficit nation. And so this issue of the trade deficit is going to be exacerbated. The trade deficit's going to rise. We got the most recent figures. We're now running a trade deficit of about $500 billion annually in the U.S. That's what happens when we buy goods from other nations and we pay for them with dollars. Those dollars get paid to the people who manufacture the stuff. They convert it into their home currency. But somebody's got a lot of extra dollars, about $500 billion a year in the world economy to pay for the excess goods and services that Americans consume. So that means then that there will be a trade deficit. Now, with the expansionary policies proposed by the new administration, building infrastructure, when we're already at full employment, throwing new sources of aggregate demand at the economy, that will tend to increase growth in the U.S. It'll tend to strengthen the dollar, and a strong dollar brings a bigger trade deficit because when the dollar's strong, you can afford that German sports car you've been looking at, or you can afford that expensive imported wine from France. That means that the stronger the dollar, the bigger the trade deficit. So I don't see the trade deficit going down anytime soon, although if we could get a lot of manufacturing exports going from the U.S., that would help bring down the trade deficit.
We'll leave it right there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
You can hear the Economic Report every Friday. Bob Barrett, WWF News.